gorgeous stuff. Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. On 88.5 KCSN. It's from Fallen Empires at Snow Patrol. Oh, what a special treat. Not the Snow Patrol, although that was pretty good. The special treat that I'm referring to is Brandi Carlile has joined us, and she's brought along the famous, and they are famous to me, Phil and Tim Hanseroth of the Pride of Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. Now, I'd like to say I know which one of the two twins, because they are absolutely twins, worked at the Kmart in Edmonds when I lived in Edmonds.
That, you know, that was me. I probably put some chicken manure on the back of your trunk.
Oh, there you go. Hey, now, wait a minute. That's kind of a... yeah, you know, I got what you were saying. well, you can see where we're off to already, right? We've already gotten things off to a great start.
It's already gone to twin territory within the first 10 seconds.
Now, let's talk about Seattle, because I know, Brandi, you love that place. That's home, and you are truly a proud citizen of Seattle.
I really am indeed. I think it's a special place. And, you know, I got to say, I love the West Coast in general. You know, there's something special about everywhere in this great country, but I love something about the West Coast, and the Northwest to me is obviously home, you know.
It's also the place that, in wanting to record your forthcoming album, Bear Creek, that sense of home was really important to you, so much so that you really wanted to find a place to record the album that really connected you to that feeling of home, and you found Bear Creek.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that studio, that environment, and how it really was part of the making of the record.
Well, in contrast to making our other records, you know, they're all such different isolated experiences. That's what records are. They're also experiences beyond just, you know, a compilation of songs. And our records have always been, you know, made in places that are far from home, usually urban settings. And that's important because it's good to get out of yourself and sort of explore something you're not comfortable with, you know. But making this record, not having a producer is uncomfortable enough for us. So we did sort of want to see what we would feel like in a rural, you know, home-like setting. And that's what Bear Creek is. It's just a big old barn on a lake, or on a creek, I should say. Yeah.
And it definitely, once you got in there, I guess you took to it like good old farm critters.
Yeah, just like that, actually. You would never know we were even away from home.
So it was part of the fabric of the record. It really did lend itself to capturing what you had hoped for.
Yeah, and that's why we named it that, you know, because it wasn't just that it was physically a departure from where we'd done our other records and close to home. It was spiritually that, too.
And speaking of the naming of it, it has been said that it was partially also in homage to one of your heroes, Elton John, who used to, you know, say, well, I did a record there. That's the name of that record.
Yeah, yeah.
Caribou Ranch, okay. Here we go.
Chateau, yeah.
Right.
Elton John's notorious for that because, you know, I think he probably looks at record making the same way, that it's an experience that's should be documented as such, you know? And for us, Bear Creek was really well-rounded space and time.
Now, you mentioned something moments ago because you've had the extraordinary, we were talking about it earlier amongst the staff, the extraordinary good fortune, I would assume, of working with possibly the two, you know, if not two of the most recognizable producers on your first couple records in T-Bone Burnett and Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
And then you decided on this record that you guys wanted to take it into your own hands and you wanted to self-produce. You had to feel, was there trepidation? Because you're walking out of, you know, by most accounts, if not the two best, two of the best, and you're saying, I think I'm ready to take the reins.
Yeah.
Was there any consternation on your part? Or certainly, I know when you get into the label stuff, well, we all know how that works.
Only just that those two guys are such, you know, they're such a presence. They're just a presence in the studio and in life. You know, we worked with Rick Rubin on our first project, T-Bone Burnett on our second project, Rick Rubin again on our third project. This is our fourth studio album. And they made such an impression on us. They taught us so many things that there's something to be said for the concept of not being a perpetual student, but eventually applying that knowledge that you've been collecting from these people in your own way. It's really special honor to get to do it, you know. It's like getting out of college and getting a job right away or something. It doesn't get any better.
Well, speaking of college, seeing that we're on the campus of Cal State University Northridge,
right,
why don't we apply some of those teachings now, and why don't you play us some music to show you just how much you've learned from those masters.
Done. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. We're going to play y'all a song called Raise Hell. I've been down with a broken heart since the day I learned to speak. The devil gave me a crooked sword when he gave me crooked feet. But Gabriel done came to me and kissed me in my sleep. And I'll be sailing like an angel until I'm 6 feet deep. I found myself an old man and I tattooed on a sign. I set my mind a wandering and walk a broken line. And you have a mind to keep me quiet, and although you can try, better men have hit their knees and bigger men have died. Come on. Upon a lightning strike and eyes of bright clear blue, I took that time from around my neck and gave my heart to you. I sent my love across the sea and though I didn't cry, that voice will haunt my every dream until the day I die. I'm on a a hole inside my heart to put you in your grave. At this point it was you or me, and mama didn't raise no slave. You took my face in both your hands and looked me in the eye, and I went down with such a force that in your grave I lie. I'm on a
It's 88.5 KCSN, and we are very, very excited to have Brandi Carlile in the studio with us, performing live for all of you out there in Los Angeles. She's wearing a cool cap. You got a cool doffer on there.
Oh, thanks, man.
And she has to put the headphones on over that hat. You know what? Don't take pictures of her with the headphones over the hat.
Yeah.
That's not a cool fashion thing. Wait. Only take pictures of her when she's not wearing the headphones.
Think Blossom. Remember that TV show?
Yes. Actually, Blossom now, isn't she on Big Bang Theory?
Probably something like that.
I believe that is who is on there. We're having all sorts of. Well, we were talking earlier about if they watch The Killing, which is my favorite show, which is set in Seattle, and they haven't yet, but now I've instructed them they must, just so they can see every street corner that is shown on location and say, oh, I know where that is. Hey, no, you wouldn't drive that way to get there. In making the record, you talked about how genre distinctions were going to be of little concern to you, that you really weren't going to get caught up in what, quote, type of music you were making for this record. You were just making the music that was in your heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I know you have an affinity for what some might dub roots or country music, mm-hmm. especially some traditional country.
Yeah.
That song obviously showed a little bit of that grit and feel. Talk to us about the kinds of stuff that are on Bear Creek and some of the stylistic, perhaps, departures or just ideas you wanted to invoke on the album.
Well, we just really wanted to go in the direction of not thinking about genre on this particular record and kind of shirk the idea of continuity and still have continuity, but have it be something that you feel instead of something you can identify by saying, oh, those are all country songs, or those are all soul songs, or that's all rock and roll music. You know, we were sort of cross-genre on this because of that, because we wanted to see if maybe we could come up with a non-tangible continuity instead of something really obvious. Anyway, it opened the door to things like, you know, us writing country songs or us writing, you know, a soul song in my situation. And then just the good old-fashioned rock and roll that we've been writing for a long time, too. So, you know, I think the compartmentalization of genre is such a new thing. And it's one of those things maybe we should try and get through like a trend.
Well, if you listen to this radio station, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that. And that's really exciting.
Either we don't know or we don't care. It's one or the other. A little of both, actually.
Yeah, man.
Something that I'm really and have been impressed, and it's oft said about artists, but you know, in your case, you really have created a passionate fan base. You know, they're engaged with you, and you've been said in making your records, you know, the studio isn't an audience. You know, the way playing your music in front of an audience is a real, you know, living, breathing reaction. Just how important is that relationship with your audience? And what do you do to really create such an engaged audience? How much on stage and off stage do you really go out of your way to connect to the audience?
Well, ultimately, it's the most important thing. That's why it's such an absence. There's such a void when they're gone. In the studio, you know, you find other ways to fill the void, or you think of them even from time to time to make a performance what it would be with them there. And in the past, I have to say, you know, T-Bone has always been an audience. Rick Rubin is an audience. When they're there, the pressure's on. You know, it's not like you're alone in a studio. You've got this presence, you know. So, I mean, we just do things to compensate for them being gone, you know, like bring people in that we really respect to listen to us play or drink or get up really early in the morning if we want to sound tired. And there's just ways to invoke a mood beyond being on the road.
Right. And off stage, your fans are passionate. You know, they really
are. They're special.
Yeah, you have a very, very devoted fan base. How thrilled with that? How important is that? And do sometimes they go a little overboard in their love and pursuit of their hero?
I don't think so, because I think if you know what it's like to be a fan, and I do, then you sort of respect their participation in your career and realize that it wouldn't be there if not for them. So, I mean, you know, day in and day out, we're more like a co-op, you know, like what our fans think we should do or what we should be a part of definitely weighs in when we make our decisions. They help run our foundation. They're involved in things on street teams and our website. They're a part of our lives. So I think that they would be passionate because they can dictate in some ways our philanthropic and our business-based decisions. Musically, though, we're kind of a huddle, the three of us.
All right. And you huddled around and made a new album that'll be coming out shortly, Bear Creek. We've heard coming into this, that wasn't me. It was the first release that we've gotten a hold of. You want to talk about any of the other things that we can expect on the record? And obviously, we'll play something else. I assume you're going to play something else from the new record, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what on the album, what are some of your favorites, early favorites? If you were sitting back and wanting to say, oh, to Rick Rubin, Rick, we think these are great. What do you think, Rick? Or T-Bone, we think you're going to really love this one. And maybe you already have. I don't know. Maybe you've already passed the music on to him and said, how'd we do, guys, on our own?
I wrote up T-Bone, and he gave me some good advice and stuff. But, you know, some of the early songs that I was really in love with, one of the songs called Save Part of Yourself for Me that we kind of wrote up in the Rocky Mountains when we were on tour on the bus. And I always thought that one was going to make a big impact, and it has. There's a song in there called If I Live to Be 100, which has this like dancey beat, this kind of like Arcade Fire Killers sort of motor on it.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of the songs have made an impact on me just because they're so different from one another. You know, Just Kids is just this weird, bizarre, dreamy departure from anything we've ever done. And then, you know, of course, there are my favorites. Like That Wasn't Me is probably my favorite.
Well, it certainly sounds like the fans that we speak of are going to really be excited about a record. And certainly I know the three of you have to feel satisfied knowing that, you know, you huddled together and you broke huddle and you're going for a touchdown. Sorry, I had to come up with the old
sports analogy. Bringing it with sports analogy.
Yeah, you know, the draft just ended, so it's top of mind with me.
Well, I did say huddle, so I deserved it.
There you go. So what are you going to play now for us?
I think we're going to play That Wasn't Me, unless you'd like us to play a different one.
No, I want you to be, when you come to our home, you play what you feel like playing.
All right, boss, let me just move over to the piano real
fast. It's Brandi Carlile. It's 88.5 KCSN live in studio. And she makes her way to the piano now. She's getting ready to sit at the piano. We are adjusting mics. And she's now here. It's 88.5 KCSN.
I've got something to say. I'm not asking you to move on or forget it, but these are better days. To be wrong all along and admit it is not amazing grace, but to be loved like a song you remember even when you've changed. Tell me, did I go she'll never be alone. I wanna believe. Do I make myself a blessing to everyone I meet? When you fall, I will get you on your feet. Do I spend time with my family? Does it show when I am weak? When that's what you see, that will be me. That will be me. That will be me. That will be me.
It's 88.5 KCSN, a lovely, lovely live version of That Wasn't Me right here on 88.5 with Brandi Carlile in studio with us. Now, Brandi, I've just been told that you just are completing a video for that song. And
yeah.
You have a very, very special guest who you stalked, apparently, and pursued and has worked on this video with you. Would you care to let the audience in on who that special guest is?
Yeah, it's Kris Kristofferson. He's one of my heroes, and he just completely made my year by being in our video. Such an honor, man.
How does one get the idea that, you know, Kris Kristofferson's a hero? Boy, wouldn't it be cool to have him in our video? And then B, get a treatment together, and then C, actually connect and get Kris Kristofferson into your video. How'd that process go, or did you just let your people handle that?
No. I wrote a long email, and I saw him at this Johnny Cash tribute we just did for Johnny Cash's 80th birthday party. I sang Folsom Prison Blues. He sang Sunday Morning Coming Down, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, the treatment came in, and I hadn't seen him for the role until I read the treatment about this man that gets out of prison and he's trying to assimilate back into the real world, but nobody's having it. It's pretty similar to real life. You know, he's been away for a long time and nobody wants to listen to him play his guitar. He's never seen an iPhone and he's trying to sell birdhouses and nobody cares, you know. And in the end, in Shawshank Redemption style, he does something so that he can go back to prison. And all I could see was Kris Kristofferson in that role, because he's got that rugged Clint Eastwood but sort of sensitive side to him. And when I saw him walking around at the Johnny Cash thing, I became obsessed with it. So
he really is, our own Robert Hilburn, longtime writer at the LA Times, was one of the first proponents of Kris, and has followed him, and is actually working on a book that will get you a copy of, the a biography of Johnny Cash, that I think you'll really appreciate.
I certainly will.
And he talks about the complexities of Kris Kristofferson as a human being. Everyone knows Rhodes Scholar, was in the army, and not only was he a Rhodes Scholar, I think you guys found out he's also a road scholar, because I heard he put a good hurt on you at the end of the day in the sessions, that the man definitely has a loose elbow, as we like to say.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
When did the day end?
It was an all-day thing. We had a great time. We did shots of whiskey together. We sang Hank Williams songs. I mean, he's truly that old school thing where, you know, when he's in the room, if he's there and there's a guitar, we're going to play music and we're going to drink whiskey. And it was an industry thing shooting the video, but he made it into a hoedown, and God bless him for that.
I just can't wait now, because you've piqued my curiosity. There's a story within a story, which is why we do these things, you know, which is why we have you come out to our radio station and talk and give the fans some insight as to why they might want to pick up the new record, Bear Creek. It's already available for pre-order, and so the clock is ticking. I guess the big quote publicity pushes on, and then you're also on the road. You're going to be touring. How long are you out on the road, and when do you think you'll get back home to Seattle to be able to change your clothes?
Well, being on the road is what we do. You know, that's what we do. That is our home. You know, so we head out into June. We're going to tour all summer long. We don't get home until September. We're going to do some events for our foundation, raise a little bit of money for the disenfranchised. And then we hit the road again in the fall for another month or so. And, you know, we're going to do one-offs here and there and tour throughout the fall, maybe hit it again in late spring and do the summer over again.
So the road is your home. And in this case, Bear Creek, a former barn, became a home, and now we have another home for you, which you can always consider. As you can see, the spacious studios of KCSN, plenty of room if ever you need to crash, as long as you got a, you know, a sleeping bag. You can see a lot of room for you to lay down.
It's fantastic, man. It's beautiful in here, actually.
Well, and do count it as a home. Know that when you're in town, you've got a place. If you just need to work out some songs and you want to come by and hear how they sound on the radio without having to go through the whole label, getting the record to them, you just come, you play them, and then we tell you how they sound. It works pretty easy that way.
Be careful. We'll take you up on it. This is cleaner and nicer than most hotel rooms.
We like to keep a tidy place. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brandy Carlile. Thank you so much for coming by, and we hope all of you enjoyed this session. We certainly appreciated it and look forward to seeing you, and that is a promise. We look forward to having you come back soon to visit us on 88.5 KCSN.
KCSN thanks the following...